Good morning.
Morning. What's
How are
going
you?
on?
Oh, not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How have you
Yeah.
been?
Not too bad. Everyone in the house has a cold because, the kids have been without masks at school for 2 weeks, so
Oh yeah,
colds are
everybody's sick
back.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's sick.
I
Are
hadn't
you
that hadn't
sick?
occurred to me. What?
Are you sick?
I've got them. I feel like the cold is kind of coming on, but it's not really bothersome. I'm a little stuffy. That's about it.
Are you going back to work now or no? Are you still at home?
I'm still at home. I think that they would like to make it permanent.
Do you think that they'll save, like they're trying to reduce office space?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they can save a lot of money that way. I'm not in the union being a manager, but I'm in a union environment, and so
Yeah.
they keep doing extensions. It's extension agreements with the union. The most recent was just last month. Now it's through June 4th is when it expires. So this last one, definitely at least at this point, it had nothing to do with COVID because, everyone's going back to work regardless at this point. So it sounded like they did that early. They extended a full month before they needed to, and they did it through the very beginning of June. Sounds like maybe they're going to work on something more permanent. And so obviously, if it affects all of the union members, then I'm supporting all of that. So that would hopefully mean that I would work from home as well, which is fine with me. I would love to just stay working from home forever.
Yeah. I don't want that. I'm one of those people that I don't, it would take me a lot to adapt.
Really? No. Yeah. No, not me. It's
Yeah, I just get
awesome.
distracted here. I walk by comics and I'm like, I don't want to fucking work. I'm gonna read comics. I don't have that problem at work. I just work, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have a TV there that says, "Oh, this is on streaming. I'll go watch that." You know, I
Yeah,
don't
true.
have that distraction. I
No,
don't have
I think a lot of people are
Harley.
that way, but for
Yeah, I don't
me
have
it's
Harley
like
telling me I want to go out every 5 minutes.
and
So.
that stuff happens now, and now it's been 2 years, and it's like everyone in my organization is just like, oh, excuse me, you have to excuse me. The dogs see something outside is barking. Like, whoever it is, you know what I mean? I mean, it could be like, a high level manager saying this. And,
Yeah.
it's kind of just how we're functioning now. And it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Come the beginning of April, they have planned, like, for most groups, they're at least coming back some days of the week. They transitioned a lot of people to a hybrid type deal. But because we totally support, this union environment, we're just matching whatever they do, which is continuing to work from home. So
Yeah,
we'll
I was just curious if they were really making it permanent, like you have no place to come back to. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that hasn't happened yet. I mean, right, like the building that
'Cause
I've
that
got.
makes no sense to me 'cause they're paying for empty space. Like
Right.
I mean, there's one thing for the servers and all that stuff. You need that space. You need the space for the storage, you need the space for that stuff. But all that people cube area stuff you don't need anymore, that could reduce a lot of freaking
Yeah, for
cost.
sure. I mean, like
And that
the
means that
building that I've.
lights and power and stuff can be reduced and
Oh, 100%.
they would save all that money. So I was just curious if they were like thinking about that, you know, like, hey, we still get the same production levels out of our employees working at home, so
Yep.
let's stay there and we save the company this much.
I've actually heard
I would
some
be
different things.
exploring that and then reducing floor space and then
My.
consolidating rack space. Like I would say, oh, let's move our servers down to the bottom two floors, or I'm just giving an example, and
Yeah.
then the upper floors we could vacate and rent or do whatever we
Well,
want
that's what I was just going to say, is that
with
like the building that I'm in downtown, there's, it's owned by the company. It's been owned by the company since it was just New York Telephone. And it's, I've heard that, I mean, one, they could either lease out that space, that's not being used, or they could, I mean, the other way they could do it is sell the building off and just keep it with an agreement that they're able to keep leasing the floors that have actual like equipment on it that needs to be there, one or the other. But I mean, you'd think that that would save them a lot of money. So yeah, I don't know. And that's only one
I mean,
building,
there's other
obviously, but
complex cities. Maybe they're tax write-off. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't, yeah,
don't know all that shit. I don't. That's way above my level.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. It's been interesting, being that Mike, I mean, talking now over 2 years working from home, it's like hard to imagine to go back into an office at this point after 2 years. That's a long time. And especially when it first started, you're thinking, okay, well, what do you know? Going to be there for a month for the rest of the March, maybe a couple, maybe all of April. And here it is 2 years later, It's odd. It's very strange. And hopefully we don't get that new variant that was shutting down China and Europe.
Denmark and
Yeah.
a couple other places.
I mean,
I'm
Australia.
sure it's on its way. All it takes is a few people to come over and then that, like, nobody's wearing masks anymore, so it's just
No,
like
COVID is over, Mike.
it's
Whether you
not
want it
for
to be or
me.
not, it's over.
I'm gonna I've made masks part of my lifestyle. I'm
Yeah.
Batman now, man. I'm inverted Batman. I hide my mouth and
Yep. Well,
all my
it's funny. Like, we
orifices
all
are
had
blocked.
colds. My parents came over yesterday because it was my wife's birthday, on Friday. They came over yesterday just to say hi. I'm like, okay, guys, let's all wear masks because we have colds. Now it's just like a thing we do. And it's funny. They knew that Allie was the one that feeling good at first, and they knew that Allie wasn't feeling good. They pop out of the car, and guess what? They're wearing masks. Somebody else had them on. It's like, I mean, like you said, it's like almost like, well, it doesn't have to be just for COVID now. It's like, want to just avoid, certain situations if it's super, super crowded, or if you're sick, and keep other people from getting sick.
Well, yesterday we went to the Batman finally, and I was very happy to see that the theater was empty. Like,
Yeah, I saw your
so like
picture.
we went at the right time, two waited 2 weeks and went on the third week, or maybe it was 4 weeks, I don't remember. But we waited long enough to get rid of the people.
Yeah, and you go early, right? Fairly early.
This was like the 10:15 feature.
Yeah, so that's good. So that helps too.
It was really good. I liked it.
I was gonna ask you. I mean, I have every intention of seeing it, but honestly, I probably won't get to it until it comes
It's
on
really
streaming.
long, and it's like one of those movies that, wow, they could have ended it there and it would have been just fine. Or they could have ended it here and it just keeps on going and going.
Is it annoying in that way, or is it still
No,
okay?
it's fine. It just doesn't. I think it would have been better if they would have taken off some of it and left
Mm-hmm.
some to the imagination. Like,
Yeah.
because if you have some things that are open-ended, you're like, well, they could address that in the sequel, or
In another one,
they
yeah.
could it gives me something to speculate on, like to wonder about,
Right.
instead of kind of just telling you everything. But it was good. I liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I liked the beginning. Like, I always like when a movie, a new franchise starts off with Batman, and you get the introduction of Batman, whether it's Batman 89, you see like, I'm Batman,
Yeah.
just the there's a scene here with some subway guys that are picking on this guy, and it's just really well shot. The new Batmobile is cool. I didn't care for how it was shot though. Like, some of the scenes are shot like from the side of the vehicle, which looks really weird to me. Like I think it's almost supposed to be like a point of view, but not because you're seeing the side of the vehicle.
Yeah,
Like
like you're
where's the
traveling on the side.
camera? It is like on the back of the car, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather have it either point of view, like the driver's point of view, or you know, at a right angle, you know, like a nicer angle, to see like the whole awesomeness that is the Batmobile. But other than that, you know, I thought it was really good. I thought the guy who played the Riddler, I don't even know his name, but I thought he was spectacular. I really liked the way they did the Riddler, because in comics the Riddler's pretty complex. Like he's crossed the line of good and evil before. There were times where he was
He's a
even
detective.
helping Batman. Yeah. So he's incredibly smart and brilliant, and I like the way he was portrayed. Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
How was he as Batman? What
Uh,
did
he
you think
he
of
was
that?
a he was a good Batman. Good facial expressions. Good. A little too emo as Bruce. Like he didn't even seem like he ever had to be Bruce.
Oh,
Like,
really? Yeah.
well, he there were times when he was Bruce, but he didn't act like he was Bruce. Like, you know, Bruce is always trying to hide the fact that he's Batman, or you know, like I'm this rich guy that just doesn't care and I run a business, and this he was too much like he never changed out of that mode.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
It's
but
obviously super serious.
I think you'll dig it. I mean, there's callbacks to a lot of, you know, comic books and stuff, and then it's still its own identity, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Like I said,
That's what I
I just
liked.
haven't had
It
a chance to get
is
out.
a it has some similar themes to some of the books that we've read over the years, you know, Frank Miller and Long Halloween and stuff, but it's its own identity, which I like. I don't want to have something regurgitated to me. I've already read it.
Yeah.
I rather have something that I could, you know, sit back and enjoy and see what it's like.
That's
But
cool.
it was good, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, we definitely will end up checking that
And
out
I
at
don't know if
some
you
point.
like westerns, but I don't know if you have Paramount TV, but that 1883 is, God, it's amazing. It's such a good series.
What is that?
It's a western
I don't think I've
about
ever heard of it.
a wagon train. Well, have you heard of Yellowstone?
I've heard of it, yes.
Well, it's a
I thought it was a
prequel.
nature documentary, but until I found out my
Yellowstone
parents
has Kurt
mentioned it.
Kevin Costner. It's like a really big show, like in terms of ratings,
Okay.
and it's so popular they spun out a prequel to it, and 1883 is the prequel. So they go
Oh, okay.
back like from current time to Western time.
So
So
Yellowstone is set
it's
in the
their
present.
it's the ancestors moving from Texas on a wagon train all the way to Oregon. And you go through all the treacherous terrain and
I played that game on the Apple 2E.
wagon train,
No, Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you'll probably like this
I
then.
got dysentery.
Yeah, you'll probably like this. It's
I probably will.
incredibly well done.
Here's one. Do you have Epics?
No, but Epics, I've noticed shows up on other things
Yes, they
sometimes.
do. It's on Apple. Did you have Apple TV?
No, I
I
don't
think it
have
might be on
that.
Apple TV too, but it's called From, and it's got oh, what's his name? Is it
Oh,
Mike
I think I've
Perrineau
seen.
from Lost? The black guy that had the little boy.
Yeah.
Lost? Yeah. He's like the main character and stuff, and it's super, super creepy. I mean, I can
I
give
think
you
I've seen
like
it
a
on
synopsis.
Hulu.
Yeah, oh,
Yeah.
maybe. But
Yeah.
yeah, if you have a chance to watch that one, check out the first episode and
I
see
don't
what you
have
think.
Apple or the other thing. I have Paramount TV. I don't know if you have that,
No,
but
I don't have that.
yeah, I have Paramount. I have I have Shudder now, but I can't stream it on my TV, so I watch it very little.
Why not? Why can't?
Because I have Chromecast and I can't
Oh, it's
Chromecast
not
it.
on there?
No.
Gotcha. Okay.
But everything else, like HBO, well, HBO Max started DMZ, and I want to watch that.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out yet either.
Yeah.
I never read the book, though.
Oh, I did. That was one that I read and Barb read.
Yeah, I remember you
So,
saying that
yeah.
that was one of the comics that
Yeah,
she read.
she loves DMZ, so
Yeah.
hopefully this will transition well. I'm sure it'll be a lot different, but I expect it to be.
Yeah. That's cool. So what else has been going on?
I looked at the new Marvel previews and I was like, God dang, man, they're killing me with. There's so many good omnibus, but I'm passing on most of them. But their Epic collections are just exploding. I mean, I was fortunate last month they only had three offerings, but
Yeah.
this one has six. When they do
So,
six or seven, it's really
are you getting
a
all of them?
lot. I'm debating whether to stop certain ones like Star Wars or some of them. I haven't decided yet. I held back on Carnage and I held back on Conan the original years. The Carnage one I had in so many other omnibuses and stuff that it was like just an omnibus of Carnage. I was like, okay, I can miss that. And then the other one I decided to was like volume six or seven of Conan the Original Years because I'm getting that in omnibus. And the omnibus is ahead of the
No,
epics.
that makes total sense.
So
Like you
that
already
was
have
the
all the
only one that,
material all
yeah.
collected, yeah. The only one that I'm looking at is that I want to get a full thing of the Power Man and Iron Fist, and I came late to the party, so I have the first volume. They did a new printing,
Yeah,
like
there's
at least
another
a
one.
quarter of
Yeah.
it. And I know that there's like the last one that they're soliciting here, but I don't have like the other two. I'm assuming they were already solicited out a while back before I started looking at these, but I'm gonna have to track them down at some
Well,
point.
there. I don't think. I think there's only one.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good because that means that I haven't missed out.
Because I think the other ones are. Let's see. Epic. Oh, there are three. Never mind.
There are? Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
so I only have the one so
I
far.
thought they only did the one, and then they did Iron Fist and Power Man. Do you know what from their original, content? Because
Oh,
before they were
from
Power Man
oh,
and Iron Fist, they
yeah.
had,
I've got the
Iron
Power
Fist,
Man, well, the Luke Cage,
Luke
whatever you
Cage,
call
Hero
it,
for Hire,
yeah,
yeah.
epic one as well. At least the first volume. I don't know if it needs to go to. I assume it needs to go to more than one volume because that was the first what, like 49 issues, something
Yeah.
like that before Iron Fist came aboard.
So they have everything to 107 already.
And I think this last one is that last that goes up to 125, the one that
Yeah.
gets solicited.
Because the series started from Power Man.
Right.
Like it started at 50, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have to look and see what I can find before they get too expensive.
I ran into the condition where I was like auditing my collection and I was missing 50 and I'm like, how the fuck does that happen? And I don't think I am missing it. I just think it's a fat finger, like I never put it in. But I
Oh.
bought another copy just in case. So
Are they expensive?
it's not,
That's
I
good.
mean, it's, you can get it for like 25 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it looks like book two of the Epic Collection. I can get it on Amazon. It's $50, so it's out of print. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be $50.
Yeah.
The other one, book three, is still must still be in print because it's only $25. So I'm gonna have to track that down.
Yeah.
Maybe eBay. We'll see.
Watched a horror movie. I forget what it was called, but it was more of a thriller horror movie, I guess, where a woman is in a kind of like in a rehab situation because of her drug abuse, and then her mom dies, so she tries to break out of the asylum and ends up in a big snowstorm. And they get caught up in like this forestry wildlife center, you know, because the police pull her over and they said the storm's so bad, you're gonna have to wait up here. And she finds this van with this little girl tied up and stuff, and it's like a mystery who's kidnapped this little girl and why.
Oh, jeez.
It's pretty crazy shit, yeah.
Well, do you know what it was called?
It was on Hulu. Do you have Hulu? There's a lot of horror movies on Hulu. I watch a lot of them on there.
See, and
But
that's like the last one that I always look at. I'm always looking everywhere else first.
well, I might have it on my list because I usually write everything down. Let me see. I write down everything I've watched. Sometimes I get lazy though. I don't know why I get lazy. It bugs me when I do. Because I miss stuff. Like, did I read that? Yeah, I think I
Oh my
read
God,
it.
I know. You know.
If I don't write it down. Guess I didn't write it down. This is where I leave you, maybe.
This is where I leave you, huh?
No, that's another one. I didn't write this down. I
Okay.
watched A House on the Bayou. That's pretty cool. That's about like a devil thing, where this husband cheats on this woman, and she tries to fix their marriage by renting a vacation home on the
Yeah.
bayou. And
Oh,
it gets crazy as hell. Like it's pretty good. It's a Blumhouse.
okay.
And
So
then the
that's
other one I
from what you
read that
said.
was a French horror movie called The Deep House,
I
which
don't know that one.
it's so weird. The premise of it is just so bizarre. There's these YouTubers, right, that are trying to get a bunch of likes and stuff. They explore haunted houses. Well, they find out there's a haunted house underwater in a lake that was consumed with water during a flood. And they go down to explore, and they find out it was like a satanic horror, like a murder house where they would kidnap kids and kill them, slaughter them. And they find this all out underwater, like really deep underwater, because they're in they're in tank gear and all that stuff
Yeah.
with their cameras and stuff. And it's just a kind of a boyfriend girlfriend thing. But that one's pretty good.
It
That one's
sounds interesting.
French.
I'm looking at it on IMDb right now. Looks interesting.
Yeah, the other one bothers me because I just watched that shit. And I forgot what it was already. It was like Frozen or something weird. But Frozen's good if you ever get a chance. The
Oh my God, I've seen that so many times. Allie can't get enough of
Not
Elsa.
that one. The horror
What?
movie about the ski lift. That
No,
Frozen.
I didn't see that one.
That's good. They leave them up there. They forget that they're up there on a ski lift and leave three people up there.
What?
On a ski lift that high
Wow.
up, yep.
All
They're
right.
closing down for the winter.
Three skiers stranded on a chairlift.
It's terrifying, man.
My God, you know who the woman is that played that? She was Andrea's sister on Walking Dead, Amy, who like died like I don't know, probably right
Very
away on the show.
early on,
Yeah.
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 I'm trying to.
And appropriately enough, the main actor is Iceman from the X-Men movies. Maybe that's where he got his powers from being stuck up on the ski lift.
Yeah, I remember he was in it. That was real well done. I liked it.
Interesting.
I'm looking under horror movies and I can't find it.
Yeah, I just did IMDb Frozen, and of course it was the second one that
I
came
see
up.
House on the Bayou, but I don't see that one. I know what the movie cover looks like, but I don't see the. Maybe it left. That's why I can't find it.
Could be.
Damn it! I didn't write it down. Son of a bitch.
Did you see the? It's not a remake. I thought it was a remake, but did you see the new Candyman when it was out?
Have not.
Oh my gosh, it's good. And I'm not going to give anything away except for to say it's not a remake. It references the events from the original Candyman.
Yeah,
So
it's a
it's.
requel.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's
No,
in
it's that
continuity
formula
with
I
the
was
first
trying to
movie.
explain to Bill is they're doing that with a lot of horror movies like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new one. Did you watch that?
No, is that what is it on Netflix?
Netflix,
Uh-huh.
yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen that
I really liked it. It's really controversial, but I like the premise.
yet.
The premise is these people that are investors buy the town that had the original killer in it. Like they literally buy the whole
The whole
small
town?
town. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can what do you call it? Regentrify, what do they call that when they rejuvenate the
Yeah, I like
knock down the
gentrify.
building, yeah,
Yeah.
regentrify the buildings and everything and then sell it, you know, turn it around and sell it as good
Yeah.
as key property.
Now it's all
That that's
fancy
that
and
that's the
pretty.
premise of it. But
Interesting.
it's really cool. But it
That
takes
sounds
place
cool.
after the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, so it's a requel.
Yeah.
And Scream does that too, you know,
Yeah,
Scream
I
is a
want to watch
requel.
Scream.
It even makes fun
Yeah.
of the term requel because he says that's what the new horror theme is. It's like we'll continue it instead of like Halloween did the same thing.
100%. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was almost like one of the that first not the first Halloween, the first one of that this new requel was kind of like the first one to do that, and it was like so successful. It was like they're all doing that now, but I'm a sucker for that because it keeps it keeps the memory alive of the originals and jumps off of that to tell another interesting story. I really like how they rather than just reinterpreting the exact same story,
Yeah.
Nice.
Scream was good. I liked it.
Yeah, that was good.
That one's streaming now. Where
I'm
is
gonna
it
have to check that
streaming?
out.
Oh, but it's on Paramount Plus. You don't have it. Does Hulu tell you like what you've watched? Is there a way to watch?
Not that I know of. I mean, if you just
Netflix has
recently
that.
watched it, it might say like, I don't know. I don't think so though. It'd have to be a series that says, continue or something.
I would hope that they'd have like an auditing feature, like what's being watched.
I mean, I'm sure they know, but I don't know if
Oh,
they
I
put it.
found it. It's called No Exit.
No exit. I keep going on IMDb and I just click add to
Yeah,
watch list.
it's called No Exit on
Okay.
Hulu.
All right.
That one's worth
So
it.
I see
So
it.
is
A blizzard. Okay.
well, I think these movies could potentially fall in your sixes and sevens. Like, I don't think they're gonna fall in your eights or nines or tens, but a six and seven's worth watching in a horror movie.
100%.
So yeah, those are good. Deep House is pretty original. Like, it's something I haven't seen. No Exit is similar to things that I have seen. A House on the Bayou is a little bit original because of what it turns out to be without spoiling it. But it's pretty unique because I've never seen anything like that.
Cool. I got all these because you know what? I don't know if you ever do this, but in the evening when if I'm gonna plan on trying to watch something like a horror movie or whatever, I find myself just scrolling and scrolling trying to find stuff. And like I spend more time doing that, and then finally I'm tired, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not gonna watch anything, and I go to bed. Here I actually have some things, I add them onto my little
Yeah, if
list
you add
here.
them, that's why I like when people like tweet like a horror movie and they
Yeah,
say, "Well, I watched it on Hulu or
it gives me
Paramount,"
focus
because
rather than just
then I can
randomly
focus on it
looking.
and I don't have to search for it. Like
Exactly.
I know it's on Netflix, I can watch it on Netflix. You know what I mean?
That's
So I like
exactly
can add it because I have the same problem. Because I add stuff to my list, yeah, I can always look at that, but sometimes I always look at my list and like, why did I add that? Like,
right. Yep.
I just overwhelmed with stuff. And then there's always new content. So, yeah, I don't know. I want to watch the Halo series, which is on Paramount Plus,
Oh,
and
that's
Barb
on
doesn't
Paramount.
want to watch it, so I'll probably
Yeah.
watch that. But I have to finish Lock and Key season 2 first.
Yeah, we haven't started season two yet.
Very interesting way to start it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we enjoyed the first season, so.
Yeah, it was good and the characters are still strong, the three
The
the two
kid.
boys and the girl, yeah.
Yeah, that's
So
cool. I
yeah,
wanted to
I
ask.
decided to watch that 'cause I was torn between I've been watching a lot of movies and I decided I wanted to watch another series, and that's what I jumped onto. I was surprised that Disney Plus put out all the Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
Because it went mature audiences, that affects you.
I know, but I'm happy because I got
Well,
as far as Luke Cage.
you're happy, but you still have to put, like, parental.
Yeah, they have their own accounts, but I mean,
Jessica Drew's pretty. I mean, that one's not Jessica Drew.
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones is pretty rated R all the time. Just her
Yeah.
nature, you know.
Right now, anyhow, maybe it's just how my kids are. I'm not saying that everyone is like this, but they're at that weird age where, like, they don't have interest in that type of stuff. Like, they don't want to watch that stuff. In a couple of
Yeah.
years, that's going to 100% change,
Oh
you
yeah, when
know?
they hit their teenager
Yeah,
years.
and then you're going to be like, well, I don't know if that's appropriate for it. Right now, they just don't have interest in it. They
Yeah.
actively avoid that stuff because either whether it's going to be too scary or gruesome or violent or whatever, they don't want to see that because it's uncomfortable to them.
Well, my
So.
niece is getting close to driving age, sort of. She's almost there. But she's my brother was walking through all the Texas Chainsaw Massacres on Netflix so they can get to the current one.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you, do you have Flash number 117?
Probably not because of the low number, but I'll
Okay.
check
Well,
because 105 is where it starts off on.
that's the first boomerang.
Yeah, I do have it.
Can I have it?
No.
I
I have it in
can't find it
VG.
anywhere.
I have it in VG condition.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I actually have two copies of it.
We'll see.
One copy is like a full comic book, and then I have another one where the cover is cut in half.
Oh, no,
Yeah.
I don't think I want a cover cut in half.
Yeah.
Thanks for the offer.
I tried to get a lot of the affordable I wish I would have just bit the bullet, because what's affordable now is ridiculous, and what was affordable then was very affordable.
It's crazy how much things have changed in the past 3 years, maybe.
Do you have 105? You do?
Yeah, I bought it at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
It's like a, I don't know, a G plus, something like that.
What did you get a G plus for? A grand? Yeah, that's an
Yeah, that's exactly right.
expensive ass book.
Yeah, but who did I get it from? Oh, you know what? I think I got it from worldwidecomics.com.
Ah.
Yeah, it's in good condition. But it's all attached, like the cover's still, is attached and everything. It's not totally torn apart. It's just got a lot of creases and all that, And but other than that, it's not bad. And at the time, I'm like, you know what? I'm
The boomerang one I bought very early on,
Yeah.
if I remember correctly, because when you get you told me the number, it didn't recall what it was.
Yep.
But then I remember about 10, 15 years ago, maybe longer, I was already infatuated with the Suicide Squad, and I was like, you know what? I want to get every single appearance of the Suicide Squad. Harley!
She means business.
I think she sees Barb, but I don't know what she's doing. She's getting a little senile in her age. Little vocal.
I never hear her bark.
Harley! That's weird. She won't shut up. All right.
Something's bothering her.
Yeah, she's okay now, I
That's
think.
good. Yeah, I have, so the early Flash, I do have 105, and then the next one is 110, which is a good one to have, and then 123, which is a good one to have. But I mean, all those other ones I'm missing, and I mean, maybe someday I can get some,
Yeah, I was
more
happy when I
copies.
got 123 because that was a high-end book and I just decided to do it.
Yeah.
But I did it when it was like my 123 is in fine condition, and I think I bought it for $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's a VG, which is good, and so is the 110. 110 is a VG.
So I have 122. And then once 114 is my earliest, which is the second appearance of Captain Cold.
Oh yeah.
I had opportunity to get the Trickster, but I didn't get it. Although I think I have it. This cover looks so damn familiar.
I love these covers, these Silver Age Flash covers.
Yeah, what are you reading? You're reading the Golden Age or Silver Age Flash Omnibus or what?
But I was late to the hardcovers, so I have them in the paperback. So this is
Oh,
the
okay.
volume two, yeah, of
Yeah.
the paperback, which it would be the, end of the, I think, the omnibus, the hardcover. I just finished it up.
Yeah, I would really like to have that Kid Flash on 110.
Yeah, I was lucky to get that one. I can't remember, a few years ago now.
And then you have 105. So yeah, my earliest is that second Captain Cold. And then I got 117. And then I start to get like a regular, like stuff in sequence. I got from 122. And then it starts to look like I'm missing 124. And then 126 through 128. And then a handful in the 130s, and then I have everything.
Wow. No, for me, like I have literally almost like just a comic here, a comic there. till you get into the 160s. Then I start to have more, but still tons of gaps until 199, and then have 199 and
I
up.
still have a few one odds and ends gaps in here. But I know that I have everything from, because my goal was everything since 1973, so I know I have everything from there on for sure.
Yeah.
But like 60s, like 66, I have a good run. Like I'm only missing odds and ends. But there, some of those odds and ends are keys. Like
there's so many at the beginning of the
expensive.
series. Yeah.
Like I'm missing the first appearance of Professor Zoom.
Oh yeah, me too. I'd love to have that one too.
Some of these I might have too and just forgot, because god dang, the covers look so damn familiar. Especially that Trickster one. I remember seeing that one at Ed's and I thought I bought it. And I usually can tell if I mark it, like everything by default is near mint. But if I start knocking it down to G's or VG's, I'm either checking it to see what the cost is, or I selected it and then didn't put quantity one in front of it. So I've made that mistake in the past.
Yeah.
I've gotten better to not do that, to not make that mistake. But there was a time when I would make that mistake a lot.
You just changed the quantity, but then you would, or not
no,
the quantity,
I just changed
the
grade.
Condition.
Yeah, and forget to do the quantity.
It happens.
Yep.
So you want to go into covering some stuff?
Sure.
All right, I can I actually start with a movie. I watched one last night. 1942's The Ghost of Frankenstein. My Universal collection. Have you ever seen this one?
No.
Not the best of the Frankenstein series, but still entertaining. It starts off in the village where, you know, Frankenstein, you know, was and created the monster and everything. And so this is set afterwards where the villagers believe that the whole town is still cursed by Frankenstein and all the events that had happened. So they want to burn down the castle, totally destroy it. So they go there, and Igor, who's actually played by Bela Lugosi, is still alive. He had been shot several times in the previous one. I think it was, what was it called? Son of Frankenstein. And, but you know, he's hanging in there. He's still okay. And he goes up at the top of the towers and stuff and starts throwing stone, you know, big rocks and stuff and pieces of the masonry down on the villagers and stuff. And so, but they manage to kind of slip by him, and they set all sorts of explosives. And so he runs back down. They start blowing up the place, and it reveals in one of the towers that had been caved in previously, it starts shifting, and you see that the Frankenstein monster has been buried there, and he starts moving his hand, so he's alive again. Igor sees that, rescues him, and they get up before the whole castle explodes. So
does he play an Igor?
And the thing is with this movie is it's kind of all over the place. You're like, you're not quite sure what the, you know, I mean, obviously the first one, the plot, the main plot is, you know, artificially creating a life. You know, the second one obviously is, you know, getting him a mate and stuff. And you're not quite sure what the point of this one is. Eventually,
what's the third one after the bride or what?
The bride after the bride is Son of Frankenstein. This one is the fourth one, Ghost of Frankenstein. And this is the first one where now Lon Chaney is playing Frankenstein, the Frankenstein monster, I should say, rather than Boris Karloff. So it's a different actor.
He looks totally different too, right?
Yeah.
He looks like more like a mutilated man, or
He still has a lot of the same. I mean, it's obviously a different person just because the shape of his body and face.
does
But
he have
no,
the bolts in the neck and the
that's
okay?
all still the same. Yeah, that's still all the same. So they travel down to like one of the, I don't know, I don't think it's identified, but the bigger city where Frankenstein's grown son is a doctor for in the mental health field. And again, like not quite sure what they're doing or what their plan is. Igor is just basically leading Frankenstein monster around, and Frankenstein encounters a little girl, and you know, just I don't know if you remember from, I think it was the first movie where he throws
Yeah,
a
he
girl's
almost threw.
flower. Yeah. So she wants her ball. Her ball got stuck up in this
Yeah.
part of the building. And so he picks her up and she grabs the ball, and then he, for whatever reason, decides to climb up to the top of the building, and he's up on the rooftop and gets in, you know, the all the villagers see him and they start shouting and stuff like that. And the little girl says, you know, take me down to my dad, take me down to my dad. I'm like, oh God, he's gonna throw the little girl down. But no, he like just went down. Yeah, as soon as the girl is safe, all the villagers start beating the crap out of him, and they tie him up and chain him and stuff, and they because they realize this is the Frankenstein monster, of you know of legend. So they want to send him to whatever the capital is, so he can be actually put in a more secure facility, and he ends up getting angry. He breaks his chains, he escapes. Igor calls him outside, and they run off. And like I said, again, it's all of these events are happening, but you're not quite sure where this is leading. You have, you know, Frankenstein is a he's a the Dr. Frankenstein. He's a grown man himself with you know, probably in his 40s or 50s with a grown daughter, a young daughter, you know, in her 20s, and she's in love with the prosecutor of the town, and you know, they play a role in so on. And this particular Dr. Frankenstein has kept all of his father's information, but he didn't want anything to do with them. That's actually probably why he got into mental health. He wanted to help people's minds rather than what, you know, what Frankenstein became. And so, you know, his plan is like, you know, we're gonna have to destroy it. Let's get the Frankenstein monster, and then we're gonna have to destroy it. Well, how do you destroy it? You know, he keeps coming back to life. And so they get the idea, well, I guess you have to do the opposite of how you built it, and basically dissect it. So that seems to be their plan, until one evening he's there in the lab, still trying to figure out what to do, where he encounters the ghost of his father, Frankenstein. So that's where they get the title. Yeah, Ghost of Frankenstein. And he's talking to his son and saying, no, you know, you mustn't do this. You just need to get a new brain. Just need to get, you know, put it, this was, I didn't know it at the time. It was a criminal brain. He needs to have a good brain, and then, you know, it'd be a wonderful achievement. And so this Dr. Frankenstein is convinced, and they had captured, or they had recaptured, I should say, the Frankenstein monster. And they convinced Igor that they would exchange brains. Along the way, the monster had killed one of the surgeons that works at this hospital. They said, well, we'll take his brain and put it in Frankenstein. I don't know what the surgeon's going to think about being in a Frankenstein monster, but this is the plan. This is what they're going to do. So now this is kind of where we're going with the story. It's going to be like a brain swap. So this they decide to do this, and Igor starts getting upset because he's got that he'd been hung previously. I think previous to his first appearance, he was hung, And he didn't die, but his neck broke, and that's why he walks funny and his neck is off to the side. And now he'd been riddled by bullets in the previous movie, and he managed to stay alive from that as well. And so he wants to he says he wants his brain in there, but they said, no, we're not putting your sly brain in that huge body. We're gonna, this doctor we're going to do. So this is the plan. They're kind of hiding out in the bottom in the basement of Dr. Frankenstein's residence, and in the meantime, the police have been looking for the Frankenstein monster since he escaped. So they finally come around to Dr. Frankenstein's house, and they start searching all over the place. As they're searching, Igor and the monster sneak out of that secret room and run off. And so the police find the secret room, everything, but there's nobody there. So they keep going, and they leave. In the meantime, the monster, that little girl from earlier with the ball, he sneaks into her room at night, grabs her, and then brings her back to Dr. Frankenstein's house. Turns out now the Frankenstein monster wants the little girl's brain in his body. So it's getting kind of strange, but finally the little girl convinces him to let her go, which he does. So they said, okay, well, that's out of the way. Let's get the doctor's brain in there. His assistant now has been influenced by Igor, that they said, this is going to be with my brain and this body, and between this is Igor talking, between me and you, we can, be a power for the entire state, even the whole country. He convinces this assistant to not put that other doctor's brain in Frankenstein's body, but Igor's own brain. So, but he doesn't tell Dr. Frankenstein. So sure enough, as the assistant, he goes and grabs the brain. The doctor thinks it's this, the Dr. Frankenstein thinks it's this other doctor's brain, but it's really Igor's. And he does the surgery, and it ends up being successful. However, the trick is quickly revealed when Frankenstein monster is able to talk, and Mike, he talks in Igor's voice, even his accent and everything. So it's
Is that
quickly.
Bela Lugosi's voice, though, or?
I was like, why he would sound exactly like Bela Lugosi, I don't know, but he
Yeah,
does.
'cause the acoustics wouldn't be
No,
the
I wouldn't think so. But so anyhow, he confronts his assistant, and he basically admits it. But now, in the meantime, the villagers are now storming the place, and Igor convinces this assistant to fill the house up with this gas to not, kind of knock everyone out. So that's what they start doing, and all the villagers start collapsing all over the place. But all of a sudden, as they're trying to make their getaway, Igor in the monster's body, he suddenly can't see. He starts going blind, and he can't figure out what's going on. And so finally, what we realize is that and this is explained by Dr. Frankenstein, who's just been now wounded by Igor. They've been fighting each other, and he's been wounded by Igor. Igor is now blind, and he says, "Well, yes." He's like the blood type of, my doctor and the Frankenstein monster was the same. You have a different blood type, and it's affecting your, all of your senses. And so Igor just loses it and throws that assistant that helped him into some equipment, and he starts getting electrocuted and dies. Of course, at that point, the whole residence goes up in flames. And just in the nick of time, the Dr. Frankenstein's daughter and that man that she was in love with managed to escape, and they walk out into the sunrise, and then that's the end of the movie. And you know what's interesting, I forgot to tell you, is that the and I'm sure that's it's intentionally so. The girl's name in the movie is Elsa Frankenstein, and I'm sure that that's a nod because in Bride of Frankenstein, the person who played the Bride of Frankenstein was Elsa Manchester. So I'm sure that they did a little nod to the original actress of the Bride of Frankenstein, and when they gave her the name of Elsa. But all in all, it was entertaining. I gave it a 6 out of 10. But it was like all over the place, and I had no idea what the plot was trying to do until probably like 20 minutes left in the movie, when all of like action finally happened. Because they were just going from place to place. I'm like, I don't know what they're doing, but
It's
it was
interesting
good.
that Bela Lugosi played Igor because he originally turned down Frankenstein roles because it wasn't he didn't want to be caught up in makeup and
No,
stuff.
that's
He
100%
found
right.
it insulting because he
Yeah.
was an actor and he's like, "Well, you're gonna cover me and make a monster?" And
Yep.
then Lon Chaney became a household name as Frankenstein, and he probably felt like, oh shit. And then this is probably like the time when he couldn't get a job, and we'll give you a job as Igor.
This
You
was,
know?
I mean, think about how fast that was for the poor guy. I mean, the first Dracula movie was like 10 years before
Oh
that.
yeah.
So
So
10 years
this.
later, he's already on the downward trend, just
Yeah,
basically
yeah,
taking
yeah.
any role.
Well, Ed
Yeah.
Wood's on its way, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that was in the 50s, so it wasn't far off.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is sad. It's like I don't know. Did you buy that? Humanoids, maybe? It was a Bela Lugosi trade paper, like a comic trade.
Do you know what it was called?
It was just called Bela Lugosi.
I'll look.
It was, I
Because it
just
came out
read it
fairly
recently.
recent.
It's fantastic, and it really is sad because he had such pride, and that pride
No,
stood
but
him in such
that
stead.
pride hurt, it killed his career, is what
Yeah,
happened.
it just destroyed, I mean, his career, his, I mean, really his life. He could have had a whole different life. It was very sad, but it made you really like him as well, like really feel sorry for him. Even though it's, you know, I mean, it was his own doing, but you see, you know, why it's happening, and it's just sad.
Do you know what it was called?
Hang on, let me search for it. I thought it was just Bela Lugosi.
Is it in the database?
I don't know. Hang on, I'm gonna check in my DCBS first. Maybe it was just called Lugosi. Could have been just
How do
called
you
Lugosi.
spell it?
That's a good question. I don't know how to spell Bela
Well,
Lugosi.
if I type Bella.
Let's see.
I know that he had a comic book called Bella.
Hang on, I'm gonna look for
Lugosi, L-U-G,
this. See that? Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. Okay.
L-U-G-O-S-I.
Yeah, Lugosi. I highly recommend it if you don't have it.
The
I
fall, the
highly
rise and
recommend
fall
picking
of
that up.
Hollywood's Dracula? No, I
Yes.
guess I
Yep,
didn't
that's it.
buy it.
That's the one. It was fantastic, Mike.
Why didn't I buy that? That's weird. I'm glad you mentioned something though, because I don't think I pre-ordered something and I gotta add it to my history. Death Dealer, I forgot to add it, I think.
Oh, Frank Frazetta.
Yeah, it's coming out on Opus or plus they got Disturbed. Disturbed has a comic book and I love Disturbed, so
The band?
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Order history open, and then I have to go to pre-orders, other, and then see Opus, I think is called. See, this is where I miss shit, where I find it in previews, but because it's such a weird name, I forget when it's time to order, I forget to order it. Come on.
You've seen Ed Wood as well, the
Oh
movie.
yeah, I'm a big fan of Ed
That's
Wood.
a great movie.
Such a great movie. I've seen the Plan 9 from Outer Space a bunch of times too.
Me too. That's quite a movie.
It is. Yeah, I forgot. So I gotta add Disturbed cover A. Wow, it's a huge discount. 45% off for this back half?
Wow.
That's really good. Wow, there's a McFarlane. There's a Todd McFarlane Disturbed cover.
Ooh.
Oh shit.
That
What is
has your name
happening?
all over it.
There's a $25 and a $50. Son of a bitch. Should I do it?
I wouldn't do the $50 one, but what's the difference between the $50 one and
I
the
don't know. I'm gonna go the 25.
it's probably one without the logo or something, wouldn't you think?
I don't know, but well, I'm gonna get the Death Dealer. That's not as good of a discount. God dang, I'm so tempted because you know my compulsion with Todd.
That's a lot of money, though. You
And
could
it's
probably
Greg
get it
Todd McFarlane and
cheaper
Greg
on
Capullo.
eBay than $50.
I doubt it.
You don't think so? I
Who's gonna
find
be
them very pricey
buying
allocated.
Disturbed from Opus Comics? A one in 20.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. Fuck it. All right. I didn't plan on adding that much, but it's a Todd. I didn't know a Todd McFarlane was doing it. Ah! Did you get Death Dealer?
No.
You're not a Death Dealer fan? Frank
No,
Frazetta?
not really. I mean, it's
What's
fine, but
wrong with you?
there's something wrong with me.
I think so, but
I guess you're right. There's only one that I see on eBay for
yeah.
pre-order, but
Did it?
it's from Canada, $59, but I think that's Canadian money.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to pay shipping
Do they
too.
show the cover though?
Yeah, it's the difference between the logo or no logo.
Okay.
The logo is on the one out of ten. One to
God, I'm
ten.
such a Todd McFarlane nut though. I gotta do it.
Let's see, does this give a conversion to American? Oh no, that is American. They want $75 Canadian
See?
for
Yeah, I'm saying. And
it.
chances are they'll cancel it for me. They'll
Yeah.
say, "Sorry, we couldn't get it for you."
Because there's not 20 people that are asking for
Yeah, and then
it.
I'll have to wait until like till after this to release it in case there's some nuthead that wants to take it from me. Because they probably missed it too.
Yeah.
But this Lugosi one, I guess I didn't order.
I recommend it.
I thought I did.
I'm just a fan of like learning about, especially him, because
Well,
I think that.
there's a bunch of Humanoids books that I did get. I keep spelling it wrong, though. I can't spell his name to save
I
my
know, because it
life.
doesn't sound like a U. It's Lugosi.
I guess I've always said
Me too.
Legosi with
Yeah.
an E, but
Yep.
it's Lugosi. Yeah, I remember seeing that in previews, but I guess I didn't pull the trigger. I usually get those ones though, the bio, you know, the autobiog the biographical
Yeah.
biography ones. I
They're interesting.
like those.
Yeah. I got the Rod Serling one too, but I don't think I've
I
read
did,
that one yet.
I did get the Rod Serling one.
Yeah.
That one I know I have. So I'm going to talk about a book I just bought recently to complete my Chaos Comics editions of Halloween. So there's a Halloween, there's a Halloween. These are expensive comics, by the way. There's a Halloween, there's a Halloween 2 and a Halloween 3 that Chaos put out. And This one I got. I've been on a chaos kick right now because I'm a mood guy. And this one was really, really good. It was by Pat Newtman and Daniel Farrads. Daniel Farrads wrote Halloween 6. So Phil used Daniel as a consultant, like for everything Mike Myers, because he was a Mike Myers freak. And he knew everything in and out about it. The pencils were by David Brewer, and the assists were by Curtis Arnold. And this is such a good comic. It takes place many, many years. This is almost like something they stole for a future plot, in my opinion, because they took what's his name? Tommy Doyle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the latest one?
Yeah.
Well, you know Tommy Doyle's in there. He's played by Michael Anthony Hall.
Yeah.
He's seeking vengeance on
He was like the little kid from the very original
from the
movie.
very first one, yeah. Well, imagine that that didn't happen, and this is a different route that the story could have taken place. But Tommy Doyle becomes a writer, and he wants to write about the murders that Mike Myers did, and he wants to do it by getting into Dr. Loomis's records. So he contacts Michael Cyphers from the county records, who has Dr. Loomis's all his documents about the Mike Myers case as a kid. And he said that guy invites him over and says, "Yes, but it's really late. I hope you get here soon." Well, before he gets there, Michael Myers is there and he kills that guy. He murders him. But Tommy gets the paperwork and's able to take it down, and he sees Dr. Loomis's records. And it turns out Michael Myers was in the psychiatric ward with a kid named Blair. Who was a black kid that had killed his sister, a guy called Adrian, who they called Donut, who was, had an obsessive compulsive eating disorder. And then a guy, Roger, who was a biblical expert, but he was also a self-mutilator. And then this Tony O'Malley, who's a violent psychopath. So he was in there with some psychopaths. And slowly but surely, Dr. Loomis learns that he kills every single one of these guys. The first guy that he kills, well, he the only guy he doesn't kill is Tony O'Malley, because Tony was a bully and he went to go pick on Mike Myers, and he actually got like an object and just shoved it in his eye socket, and he lost his eye, but he went into the psycho ward after that. And Blair got accused of that. Like, he got accused of doing it. Mike Myers, they didn't do it, but it was a crayon. He actually got a crayon, which is a soft object, and he jabbed it in his eye socket
Oh my
and
God.
took him out. And then later on, he take actually the self-mutilator is the one that gets accused of that. But and he that kid's crazy as it is, so he admits it, even though he didn't do it. And later on, that guy eats Michael Myers's cake, like at a they're having his 1 year birthday party, and he eats his birthday cake, and Michael Myers sort of scorches him alive in the shower. So there's like a temperature control thing, very much like in Halloween 2. Do you remember he burns the woman and the
I
guy
do.
in the sauna,
Yeah, I do remember
because
that.
he turns up the heat, like to, well, that's what he does to this kid, and this kid's burned, and eventually dies from the burns. So he kills everybody there, and then you learn that Dr. Loomis, there was another doctor that he was falling in love with at the time, that they were trying to say that, we need to get him out of this and put him in prison because he's dangerous. Like, he's a dangerous individual, but they wouldn't believe him. But this other doctor did believe him. She's a female. They sort of fell in love. And later on, they invite Michael Myers to a Halloween party, and the lights go out, and there's this dunking, bobbing for apples. Well, he drowns a couple of the kids in the apple. And then later, when one of the female doctors going to look for Mike Myers, she gets killed. She gets thrown off the top of the building and breaks her neck. So he killed Dr. Loomis's love that he was actually going to quit his job for. And then it ends with, Tommy's reading all this stuff, and then Mike Myers comes in there after him. He's like, "You can't be, you have to be dead," and he's not dead. And he shoots him multiple times. That doesn't work. Slams his head against the like a glass thing. That doesn't work. But then he throws like something on his face that is like gas, like will ignite his face on fire, and then throws a lighter on it, and he's like, "Die, son of a bitch!" And he catches his head on fire and throws him out the window, and that's how it ends. And it says, "You son of a bitch, wherever you are, I'm gonna find you and finally kill you." So that's Tommy Doyle saying that, and that's kind of how the movie, how it went. Except it didn't end in that his favor, but yeah, that's what the plot of this was. And it says at the end of this, there's no second issue, but it says the end until next Halloween. And it was really quite the tale. The art was really good. The story was really good.
So you just got this one recently?
Yeah, I was trying to get all of the Halloween books. I'm still missing some of the Devil's Due, but I have all the Chaos ones. And like, if you look online, they're not cheap.
I'm seeing even in the database it's reading
Yeah.
50 something dollars.
Yep.
Well, where did you pick it up?
On eBay.
Oh, okay.
I've had it on my queue forever on my comic shop, and it never is available, so.
I know. I've had stuff on there that like years, and I've never gotten a notification.
Yeah.
They've so much, but then those particular things that you're looking for is like they never pop up.
I just thought this was so cool because of it was in 2000, and they had this like cool Tommy Doyle story.
Yeah, that is cool.
And I like how they fleshed out early Michael Myers murders in the asylum, in the mental hospital.
Yeah. I don't
He
know if we've talked about
killed
this before.
everybody.
Maybe we have, I don't know. But if we have, just tell me. But if not, which would you say is your favorite if it's Friday the 13th movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, or Halloween?
Halloween.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
And then
not
Friday the
yeah.
13th and then Nightmare. I'm not
Me too.
I was at the cusp of like I really like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I really thought it was I wasn't at the age where that was hitting me as much. And he was more like a supernatural killer than a Well, Mike Myers is a totally supernatural now because you can't, you can put like a machine gun to him, and
Yeah.
same thing with Jason Voorhees. They become something other than just a slasher killer,
Right.
but they didn't start off that way.
No. No, I'm totally with you. And I mean, it's posed differently. It's much more mysterious with like they don't address or they don't come out and say, well, Michael Myers is supernatural or anything like that. But I like you said, it's definitely, he's it's impossible for him to
Well,
kill him.
I think that it got like Halloween had like scary, like the first Halloween, it was scary and he didn't like murder a lot of people.
Right.
And then Halloween 2 terrified me because it was like the night after in the hospital. And that was my favorite personally. But and then Seasons of the Witch came and I didn't even watch it. And
Yeah, I
then
don't think I've even seen that one yet.
I've saw the others sporadically, but then I watched the Rob Zombie ones and I watched the two new ones. And Friday the 13th's first one was amazing in terms of horror because it scared the shit out of me. I remember watching that on HBO and it was me and my brother and my two cousins. They were there with us. So they're a little younger than younger than me. They're females, and then we were males, and we're on all on my parents' bed because HBO was only on my parents' TV. And we were watching it, I think near Halloween, and that's the end scene where you think, she's floating on the water,
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Jason jumps out, like. That scared the shit out of us because we thought the movie was over at that point.
Right. Yeah.
And we thought we knew who the killer was, the mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I do like the first one quite a bit. The next couple I still like as well, but yeah, the first one really, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Nightmare on Elm Street, I can appreciate it, but yeah, it's just not, it's not my favorite. It's my least favorite of those three.
Same here, but I know other people that would say that's their favorite, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got. He definitely has. He's got a personality. Obviously, he talks, first of all. So it's like the other two don't talk at all. So it all depends on what you like. But yeah, for me, I just feel like Halloween is the most like I don't know like not serious but just like I don't know what the word is. It's just very simple, straightforward. I really think they did a great job with it. I think then like Friday the 13th just took it to another, to a different
What
extreme
was more
with all
extreme
the different
violence?
kills.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like, I don't
exactly.
know if you saw the movies that made us
Yes,
all
I did.
Friday
Yeah.
the 13th,
Yeah.
but that was pretty cool to, Tom Savini and those guys.
Yeah.
They even had like eye injuries and stuff like that. Burns where they had to take them to the hospital and shit like that.
Well,
But
yeah.
they had got that chemical, the dye all
Oh my
over their.
God, yes, that's right.
Was
And
that a
you know,
nightmare?
for the house,
That might
what'd
have
you
been
say?
a nightmare where they inverted
Oh.
the bed scene or whatever.
Yeah.
People were actually getting hurt.
It's crazy. But
Yeah.
for the Halloween episode of that, it's like at one point they said like you don't see any blood like in the whole movie. I'm like, get out of here for Halloween. I'm like, there's no, of course you see. I'm like, oh my God, you don't see any blood?
That's what makes it masterful, though.
Yeah,
Like,
because in my head you
because
see
it's like
plenty of
it's.
blood.
But it's like Hitchcocky, Hitchcock. He
Yeah.
never, he didn't need to show you the violence. You just were terrified because of what you saw. You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
and then
If
in your own
it's just
brain, you're
blood,
making it that much
it's
worse.
blood glowing down the drain, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I was just wondering. Yeah, it's funny we have the same 1, 2, 3 then for those three in particular.
Yeah.
All
What
right.
else
Well,
you got?
my next one, as I told you, I was reading those Flash issues. So, this is the last one in the paperback Silver Age Volume 2. It's Flash number 132, and I think all of these is the stories by John Broome, and Infantino does the art. So they were a consistent team at the beginning of Flash. And on the cover, as you see Flash slowing down, kind of streaking to a halt, and he's crashing into the sidewalk. He's saying, my weight increasing so fast, I'm sinking into the earth. He's now going to have a new role of the heaviest man alive. This is not like one of the other covers. I don't remember what issue number it is.
Where he looks fat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't remember what issue
that
is.
Yeah, this one's more like.
Yet, but it's not that. His density
is just he's heavy, but he doesn't look any heavier.
Exactly. So at the beginning of this one, this has actually two stories in it. And the first one is set in a different dimension. And these aliens, for entertainment, they watch a program on their TVs. And the most popular one is a program called Thrills of Earth. So they broadcast different natural disasters that are happening on the planet Earth. So, you know, there's a volcano one day, there's an earthquake another, there's a flood another. It's their highest rated show. And so you see people enjoying this program, and then we cut to the actual company that's called Telviz, and we're at the board of these aliens, board of directors, and they're upset because they're going to be in trouble. They've got scanners probing the whole Earth, and there's nothing happening that they can show on their next program. So they know that they've gotten rich over this program, and they feel like they're going to be in trouble. There's nothing, literally nothing going on. I said, this has never happened before. There's always been something, whether it was a tidal wave or a war or whatever, but there's nothing going on. And so they're trying to figure out what they can do. And finally, the head exec of the network says, you know what? I just thought of something. There's nothing going on. Maybe we can make things happen. It's like, we've got all the advanced science. So why don't we just make things happen on Earth, and we'll broadcast it. We won't let anyone know that we're doing this, but it'll keep our show afloat. It's like, that's great. So everyone thinks he's a genius. He gets in his flying car for an appointment that he has at the Institute of Advanced Learning. And he's there to meet a celebrity, and he makes it a point. So you don't think he's such a great guy. They make it a point where he's thinking, he's like, I always tend these affairs. It's good public relations for the show, and that's all I care about. So he gets in, and he's very surprised to see that the celebrity that he's there to meet is the Flash. And the Flash has used his vibratory powers to transition between dimensions, and he's there as a guest. So he's talking to the educators there, and the network exec says, oh, this is, you know, he introduces himself, hello, and they introduce the Flash to him, saying, you know, he's the Telviz executive, and, you know, we actually have a show called Thrills of Earth that is a big hit. Like, oh, actually, it's due to air right now. Let's turn it on. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. And it's about to turn on, and the sound, you know, they're advanced science here, Mike, but their TVs aren't in any better shape than the 1960 TVs at Earth. They turn it on, and they can hear the sound right away, but it takes a while for the picture to warm up. So they start hearing people like shouting, like, oh, it's stop that thing. And the exec shoots a little ray to get the TV to turn right off. He doesn't want Flash to see that something's happening, because he doesn't want Flash to leave and go and save the day and then tank his ratings. So he gets that to turn off, and he's like, oh, you know what? He's like, why don't I show you around? You already know about your Earth. Why don't we show you around my planet? So they walk around, and Flash is kind of distracted because he's trying to wonder what that shouting was on the TV before the screen warmed up. He notices that there's another set over in the window of a nearby shop. So he's going to go over in that direction, and the Telvis exec realizes this and has to distract him. Now, they have a big block of water, like above ground, without anything to hold it in, and they use that. They use it by molecular tension. They hold the atoms together of the water, so they're just basically floating out in a big cube of water. And for entertainment, there's a bunch of swimmers. So what the exec does is he points his ray at it to reverse the molecular cohesion, and it becomes a huge flood and is about to crash on this elderly woman. So the Flash goes and saves the lady, and then saves all the swimmers that are being washed out by the by the, you know, collapse of their big pool. And he's like, "Oh, good." You know, the exec's like, "My, it worked." But Flash, of course, is so quick that not only is he able to save them, but he's able to run over to the shop to look at the TV set before the guy even knows anything that's going on. And Flash realizes he has to get back to Earth immediately, which he does. And there's a whole bunch of power lines, those big, huge metal structures out that hold up the power lines. They are walking across the Earth, and they're coming closer and closer to Central City. And Flash saw this on the TV. He comes back to Earth, and he's trying to do away with them, but like they're just metal frames. So he's trying to like go around them, but the wind is just going right through the framing, and it's not really blowing them away. He tries to do a vacuum, the reverse, and it's not doing anything. He's like, I got to do something to stop this. And meanwhile, we go back to the alien planet, and the exec is kind of amused with himself because, like, I did all this to try to stop Flash, and it was needless. He can't. He doesn't seem to be able to stop anything. So, you know, this is fine. This our show is doing great. But Flash runs out, gets a hammer, and he's like, "Ah, oh, this will work." And so he starts using a hammer to knock the rivets out of each one of those power station towers, and just in less than a second, he manages to destroy them all, and they collapse. So the exec is very, very upset about this. He's like, "You know what?" He's like, "I've got to come to Earth, and I have to stop the Flash once and for all. Otherwise, our show is done for." Now, Barry has taken a rod from the tower to analyze to see what's going on. He notices a strange radiation, and he's like, "It's nothing on Earth, but I did see the similar radiation back on that dimensional planet." So he's like, "I'm going to have to go back there and see what's going on." So he's like, "All right, let me take off." So he starts running faster and faster to try to get to this other dimension again, and he notices all of a sudden he starts going slower and slower, and he starts really, he's like, "Oh my God, I can't get faster because I'm getting heavier. I'm slowing down, I'm slowing down." And he sees the exec there right in Central City pointing something at him, and now Flash is starting to sink right into the sidewalk. He's like, "He's trying to destroy me." He's like, every time step I get closer, I'm getting heavier and getting slow. Maybe I can go backwards and the opposite will happen." So he starts running backwards and goes in a big U and goes around to the back of the guy running backwards and grabs him and spins him around. It works. He's able to move again, and his ray goes flying off into the air. He knocks the guy out, and of course he takes him back to his own dimension, where he's found guilty of several unlawful acts, both on his home planet and on Earth. And they thank Flash profusely and say that just like on Earth, he's their hero as well. So that was the first story. The second one was the farewell appearance of Daphne Dean. Daphne Dean had appeared one time before in the same volume. She was Barry's old childhood or high school sweetheart, and she's now an actress. And she was coming back home, and her agent said, "Well, you know, let's play up that you're still in love with Barry." So, we'll put it in the papers and stuff, give you extra press. And she's like,
Why would she do that? Because Barry's not popular, is he?
yeah, I don't know. Maybe just a
I can see the inverse. Do you know
story.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I
Oh,
don't know.
Barry,
Maybe
if you could get in with this popular person, then it'll look good for
Barry
you,
Allen,
publicity.
scientist.
But I can't see the other one going
Well,
the other
yeah, I
way.
mean, well, that's what they did, though. They're like, well, it's going to be some sort of like romantic storyline or whatever, coming back and being in love with your high school sweetheart. And
Oh, okay. So maybe it'll make the entertainment news or something.
that's what I'm thinking. And
Yeah.
so, that was the previous story. And bottom line, what it was is that, Barry wasn't falling for it. He's in love with Iris. He told Daphne as much that, they had a good thing there in high school, but he's moved on. And even though this was all just, for show, of course, Daphne then realized that she was still in love with Barry. And that's how it ended, right? So she was in love with him, but it was unrequited. He's with Iris. So now she shows up again in the second story here. And in this one, she's written Barry a letter saying that she is over him. That she's always going to be fond of him, and they're always going to be, lifelong friends. But she realized after after thinking about it, is it's really that her heart belongs to the Flash, and she hopes that she can meet the Flash in person. So she passes that letter to Barry, and of course, Barry goes to visit. Goes to visit Daphne, but say I'm gonna have to let her down that we're not that we can't be together. Like, I'm gonna have to do something to break this spell. So he's like, I know. He's like, I'll tell her that this is all just, she's an actress. I'll just tell her that this is all played up for publicity, that I'm really not all that fast. Like, I'm a fast guy, but I don't have super speed. That's just, ridiculous. So they meet together in Central City Park, and they're talking, and he's looking into her eyes. Of course, he's very familiar with her from going out years ago, and can tell that she's really smitten with the Flash. And he's like, I really have to confess to you that, this whole reputation for my speed is just publicity. He's like, I can run fast, but not super speed. I'm just, a fast runner, but nothing crazy. And she's like, but listen, all the newspaper accounts, it's like, I saw it with my own eyes the last time. And he's like, no, you were too dazed. Remember what happened? You were, kind of knocked out and stuff, and you built it up in your head. This isn't for real. And so he can tell that this is working, that he's got her half convinced. So they're continuing to walk, and they walk in front of a toy store, and he's like, see, look, there's a new toy of me too. This is all just, for stunts and everything. This is what I'm talking about. But then out of the corner of his eye, he sees some bank robbers that he's aware of by reputation walking into a bank. He's like, I got to do something, but at the same time, I'm trying to get Daphne to think that I don't have any super speed. So he points out the little doll of the Flash in the window, and he's like, you know what, this is my chance. He's like, I should have just, a couple seconds while she's looking at that to go into the bank and stop the robbery. So that's exactly what he does at super speed. He goes running across the street. He captures the four guys that have gotten into the bank vault. He ties them all up. He closes the bank vault for the police to get him, and he goes running back, standing right next to Daphne. And Daphne's like, oh, for a minute, I thought you weren't there. He's like, oh, no, I was here all along. And so they keep walking some more. Now, all of a sudden, he notices that there was the guy in the getaway car. He saw what had happened. Now he's driving away. He's like, well, I'm going to have to catch this guy too. He's like, I'll point to, whatever's in this shop window, and maybe I'll have a couple more seconds. So he goes running as fast as he can right through a couple walls. He's running right next to the car as if it's standing still. Of course, he grabs the guy, punches him out, takes him right to the stairs to at the police department and goes running back as soon and actually here's Daphne talking to him just as he's approaching the shop, and he answers her. He stands right there and answers her as if he had never left, and she's like, it's been a wonderful afternoon, but I've got to return to LA. And Flash is like, oh, I thought you were going to be for a few days. And she said, yes, but things didn't work out the way that I planned. And the next day he gets another letter addressed to the Flash in care of Barry. And so he opens it up and reads it, and it's from Daphne, of course, and it says, it wasn't your fault. You tried your best to turn me down gently, but there's one thing you didn't realize. It's like every time you ri went running away, I could see you turn and start running away in the window of the store. So I knew that you were just trying to let me down gently. I decided that this wouldn't work out between the two of us, and but I'll never forget you. And then so that's the end of the story.
The
Spoiled by the reflection in the window.
mirror, yeah.
So that was fun. So that's the end of this volume. I'm not sure what I've got, what I'll read next in terms of collections, but I'll probably read one or two more collections, and then I got to get back to reading my Captain America comic, starting with 200, because I've read 100 to 200 at this point.
You just took a break.
Yeah, I want to take a little break, read some of my collections that are.
It's good to take a break because then you get reinvigorated again.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you
Yeah.
don't start, it doesn't start to wane on you because it's the
Yeah. It's
same. Yeah.
not a job. It shouldn't feel like a job.
Yeah, exactly.
So this was a good one, though. It was fun. You got
Right.
something else?
Yeah, more chaos.
All right.
This is Chastity. From 1997. She's currently appearing on a couple of Dynamite comics, but this is like her origin. This is like the very first stuff. I don't know if it's her first appearance, but it's sort of like how she came to be.
What is the t is it just called Chastity, or does it have a
I think it's Theater of Pain.
Yep, I see it.
Theater of Pain. So you get it. This is by Brian Polito, who's the kind of the owner of Chaos Comics.
Yeah.
He lost the rights to everything that he created except for Lady Death when he went bankrupt. The illustrator is Justiniano. The colorist is Jason Jensen. And this starts off with like a punk scene inside of like a in London. There's a punk band playing. He's got some pretty cool lyrics. It's your fault and none of it my own, and he just keeps on saying it over and over again. There's a lot of kind of cool pop cultures type references in this. But she's a roadie, and one of the members tells her, you got to go get more drumsticks while they're playing instead of watch the concert. Like, you're getting paid to do nothing but watch, and you should go get the drummer more drumsticks because he'll break them or he'll toss them. So she goes to the back van, the back of the van, and she's like, where am I going to find drumsticks? I see the cymbal, I see this, so I can't find a drumstick. And then this big fat dude, he's very creepy looking dude, attacks her, and he's a vampire, and he bites her in the neck, but she does manage to shove a drumstick into his eye socket. Well, that's two books. You got a crayon in an eye socket and a drumstick in an eye socket. There's a theme
This is
here.
a theme.
And so she's bit lying there on the ground, and this and she's about high school age, I would guess, because they tell her backstory later on. So let's say she's 16, 17 in London, and there's this woman that looks cr like Cruella de Vil with a limo, and she sort of picks her up, and then it flashes back to how she got to London. Well, it turns out she was an aspiring theater person, and she was like really good. And even the theater guy says, you're way above any of the talents that are here. You deserve better. And she wants to get into a London school for acting, but he says that's going to be a tough road to go down. So she has a bad life at home. The life is kind of weird though, because she has an alcoholic father, but he's like a guy that's still stuck in the 70s. So this is like a book in the 90s. So this is like takes place in the 90s. But he looks like a John Travolta wannabe with gold chains and stuff. And he owns like hair salons, and he's an alcoholic, and he's always abusing the mother, who actually is like a salon, she cuts hair and stuff at the salons. And then he condemns the way his daughter dresses because he's saying it makes his business look bad, and he's having business troubles with his job. So he comes in and yells at her, and he drags her out of her room, and he says, "I'm gonna make you up with a hairstyle like Farrah Fawcett." So you can tell this guy's still in the 70s, because this is the 90s and he's trying to
Fresh from
get his daughter
1970.
the Farrah Fawcett haircut.
Yeah.
And as he's cutting her hair, he's like, "Clap your hands to the beat," and he's like singing a song, and he's drinking while he's doing it, and he's got like a disco duck like thing on his platform. Well, this was enough. He abuses the mother, she gets abused, and she's like, "I can't take this anymore." She goes to his wallet, steals some money, and sort of leaves. Like says, I'm not gonna live here anymore. I'm gonna leave." She gets a fake ID made and flies to London. And at London, the first thing she does is she goes to the Royal Shakespeare Academy to try to go where she's always wanted to be, and they kind of laugh at her face. And then she's like, "Well, what am I going to do now? I don't have a job. I don't have any money." Well, there's this place that sells clothing, and she gets a job down there. So she wa and she looks like she's in a she was dressed herself up kind of nice. And the owner of the shop says, well, she rips off her sleeves and then unbuttons her dress and then does a bunch of stuff and says, "Now you look like the punk rock chick that you need to sell stuff for here." So she kind of like grooms her to be a punk rock salesperson at this store. And then she doesn't have a place to live, but she finds this band playing. She says it's a bunch of noise. Like she's never heard racket like this before. She says, "I can't believe they actually sell music," because she doesn't understand the concept of punk rock coming from that disco family, I guess. But one of the guys takes a like the lead singer takes a liking to her and offers her that she can be a roadie and also have room and board. And yeah, it doesn't pay very well, but she at least has a roof over her head. And then she's the roadie, and then it flashes back. She's starting to get into a relationship with the lead singer, and then it flashes forward again to where she's with Cruella De Vil, the rich lady, and she has her dressed in this nice white dress, and she wakes up and she says she pretty much tells her, "You're a vampire now," and she tells her origin. She freaks out. She's like, "Vampire? Oh, what is that?" She's kind of goes nuts and runs out. And then she goes back out, but then she tries to she realizes that she can't exist when she to her normal life. She can't deal with it anymore. She's a vampire. So she goes back to the other vampire lady, the Cruella De Vil, and they have that fat vampire there in chains, the guy who bit her. He's there naked in chains, and she says, "Well, this is the guy that turned you. You could kill him," and she essentially slaughters him and drains all his blood, and then she becomes that vampire. That's how it ends. But it was really good, really well drawn, really well colored, cool story. Cool characters, very dense. Like, there's a lot of words in this.
Oh, really? It took a while to read.
Yeah, it took a good 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And then I read the back matter and stuff, but yeah, it was a cool book. I have the rest of the series, so I'll probably read that really soon.
I've got one more, Mike.
All right.
Hang on, I gotta grab it. So I don't know what put me in the mood for this, but I read Amazing Spider-Man number 298. And that is, I think, is it Todd McFarlane's first one, or I don't remember.
No, I think that's DeFalco still.
Well, McFarlane is definitely drawing it. I don't know if it's his first one or not, though. Yes, it is. That's his first Spider-Man.
298, huh?
With Chance on the cover.
Oh, okay, I know that cover.
Yeah.
And Michelini, then? Yeah.
So Michelini and McFarlane, and I guess this was not Chance's first appearance. This is the one that I remember him from, maybe just because it was McFarlane doing it. But so I don't know what put me in the mood to read this, other than this was early on, and I
Maybe because it was recently on sale at Aaron Myers's page.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I might have actually seen it subconsciously and like, oh, I remember
Yeah,
that
I might
cover.
as well just read this again.
Yeah, exactly. But so Chance is he's a I don't know what you would call him, assassin for hire. I don't. He does he, basically he bets on whether or not he can get things done, and if he wins, then he you got to give him the money. If he loses, then he's got to pay you. So right at the beginning, the feds are trying to get this witness into a car to go and testify against, I'm assuming, some sort of a high ranking gangster. And Chance comes flying along, and he starts shooting the blasts all at the feds. I don't get the impression that he's killing any of them either, but he's knocking guns out of their hands. He's knocking them out. The witness, he jumps into the car. Car was already on and running, so he bolts. He just flying off, and he switches. And Chance says he switches his wrist blasters to laser mode, and he aims for the gas tank. And sure enough, he hits it. Boom! The whole thing blows up. He's flying away from the scene, and he calls in through his helmet, and to the person that he hired him, was named Mr. Treese. And he said, he's like, "Oh, I'm happy to report that I've won our wager, and so and so won't be testifying against you." And you know what? He only charged $10,000 for that too. So I guess 1987, that was a lot more. Then we cut over to Mary Jane, and she's doing a model shoot and talking to her hairstylist. A quick little scene of Peter at the Daily Bugle, and just looking for I guess him and Mary Jane are going to be looking for a bigger place in the Bedford Towers. I guess that's some sort of fancy apartment building. And Pete's feeling a little down because he can't afford the YMCA, he says, but obviously Mary Jane, with her modeling job, she can afford a fancier place. And I think it's getting him down that he's not contributing financially compared to what.
It's interesting though, because later on when Howard Mackey takes over with John Byrne, they're also in like a high rise, hotel or no, type of area that's really
Yeah.
well to do. The only difference is now he's got two jobs and she's so he's contributing, but
Okay.
it's mostly on her salary. But that's the time when she has that stalker following
Oh,
them.
yeah, that's right. I remember that
Yeah.
now. Yeah. Well, he's hanging out here and he's got, he asked for photo assignments and Robbie Robertson doesn't have any. This one reporter, Joy Mercado, says that she got a tip. Now she's got to go report on something, but she's got a tip that there's going to be some foreign arms being unloaded on a pier tomorrow night. And she's like, I've, got to do this other report, but she's like, maybe if you go there with, take some pictures, take some notes, we could share the story and split the fee. He's like, all right, that sounds good. So he takes off, swinging back to the apartment, and he goes to the apartment. It's like just a, it's a mess. It's got, all of MJ's boxes all in the living room. They just apparently just recently gotten married. They referenced that a couple times that this has been very recent. And he realizes that he's been whining and complaining about different stuff, but she's the one that literally transplanted her life from one location to another to live with him. And all he does is think about himself. So he's like, you know what? I got to do something for her. And he's like, I got an idea. And Mike, he when he gets this idea, he's looking at People magazine with the Chippendales on the cover. So
That's the
then
best
that
bet.
evening,
He's gonna strip.
well, Mary Jane gets home and says, Peter, it's me. And there he is in red underwear and just a bow tie.
That's right.
And he's got a candlelit dinner there on the folding table, in on the living room prepared, and he's talking in this really, really phony French accent. And so it's like, Peter? No, her hairstylist name is Sandy. I brought Sandy home to meet you, and there she is, right behind Mary Jane. And so Pete is extremely embarrassed. He goes running off into the bedroom and gets dressed. So that was a very, very amusing scene. Then we cut away back to Chance and his. In his civilian outfit, and he's taking this woman. He's just finished taking this woman out to a very fancy dinner, and they have a night planned where he gets a message on his wrist alarm that it's a pager, and he's left instructions not to be bothered unless it was very important. So he's like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to bid you adieu. You take the limo, I'll take a taxi. He's like, but I'll see you tomorrow because I believe your husband's still in Madrid, isn't he? So he's got no scruples whatsoever. And he goes back to his apartment and he gets dressed into his Chance uniform. And he calls the code, and it's a person that was referred from that Mr. Treese to Chance. And so that they've got a little bit of a problem, a $20,000 problem. He's like, color me interested. I will. Where will we meet? And we go back to just the wrapping up dinner at Pete and MJ's place. Sandy's leaving, and and then Mary Ch or Pete says, do you still want dessert? And they, he grabs her and they close the bedroom door. So Chance meets at this the board of directors at this place called the Life Foundation, and apparently they're hiring him as the operative, and he comes in, starts talking. They want him to steal the shipment of the European arms that are arriving, and he. They offer. He's like, I don't work for terrorists. And he's like, we're not terrorists. Like the arms are going to be used for defense with no civilians involved. He's like, how about $25,000? And Chance says, okay, that's different. You're on. So, of course, Pete's there that night to take pictures, and he's dressed in the Spider-Man uniform. He's still wearing his black costume at this point, although it's the cloth black costume. It's not the symbiote anymore. He's had that removed by Reed Richards, I believe, sometime in the past. Chance comes and starts blowing up the place, knocking people out to steal the arms. So Pete webs his camera, and he's there to start going into action when he realizes that pretty much like everything is done. Nobody's been killed. They've gotten a submarine has popped up that Chance is using, and they've put the arms onto the submarine, and he's like, you know what? He's like, the operation is finished. Maybe I can follow the submarine to wherever it's going, get some more pictures, get kind of like two stories, and double my paycheck. He's like, it's risky, but Chance only kills people he's hired to kill. So hopefully I just need to sit tight and nothing will go wrong. Suddenly there is a blackout that New York City hasn't had in over a decade. And I don't know what had happened, but they say for an explanation, see X Factor 25. So something happened to cause this blackout. And when the emergency generator lights on the pier come back on, he sees a soldier running after to grab his rifle and to use it against Chance. And Chance sees it and shoots the soldier in the back. And that just flips Spider-Man out because, you know, now he's feeling guilty that he decided to sit back and do nothing for the promise of maybe more a bigger paycheck. So he starts attacking Chance. Chance is shooting his blasts all over the place. He manages to avoid those, but then Chance cuts through his webbing, which causes Spider-Man to kind of fall to the ground. Chance then knows how Spider-Man operates and uses some acid darts, the base of the crane that's holding some of the arms up, and it starts to break and collapse onto towards the pier. So Spider-Man can't chase after Chance. He runs over, manages to grab the crane, but not the part that has the attachment with all the weapons. And he manages, and he's like, if these hit the ground, it could cause an explosion. He manages to twist it just enough to land on the water and no explosion. He quickly calls the cops and stuff. They grab the soldier that had been injured, but he's not dead. He's not killed. He has been hurt. So Spider-Man is happy about that, but they're thanking him, saying, without your help, could have been killed. But Spider-Man's saying, well, if it wasn't for me, he might not have been wounded at all. Chance goes back to the board of directors, and he is getting money because he did get most of those weapons onto the submarine. However, when he goes to sign off on it, he's electrocuted, and this businessman, this head of the board, has some sort of plan for Chase, because they say they don't want him dead, at least not yet. And so that cuts away. So there's more plans for this board, this Life Foundation, and Chance, and we don't know what's going on yet. But then we cut back to the apartment.
It's interesting because that Life Foundation is the foundation that is always after Venom, I think.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I
Yeah.
bet you have to be right because it's, I mean, this is Venom will appear in two more issues. So I'm sure that's correct. I don't remember them, though. Like, it's been so long since
Yeah.
I've read any of this stuff. That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I mean, this guy is obviously up to no good. This leader of the board of directors, yeah, you know, he's bad news. But at this point, you don't know quite what's going on.
Well, in the current Spider-Man, it's that other, you know how Ben Reilly's the
Yeah,
focus?
Maxine Powers. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a weird organization as well.
Very the Beyond organization. Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how far you are. Are you caught up with that pretty much or no?
I am, no, I'm not. I'm
Okay.
probably, I don't know, eight issues behind,
I don't
maybe
want, okay,
more.
I'm not going to say, because I don't want to give something away, but
I think the
they
last one I read was like the number point whatever with that focused on Misty Knight and Colleen.
Yeah. There's
That,
something
so I'm
coming
pretty
up that is
far
kind
behind,
of
but they have Monica LeBeau running stuff too. Like they have
Yeah,
their
she's
own
on the cover of the
they have their
latest
yeah they have their
Void
own
issue.
agenda. I'm enjoying it. I've always liked it, but Peter just came out of his coma because of
Yes.
Aunt May. That's where I'm at
Okay.
because of
So
the
you haven't gotten
Doc
to the
Ock
Black Cat
stuff.
and Cap
No,
training
not
him back
yet.
up. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Well, you'll see. You'll see something's going on, more going on with Beyond that you'll see between them and Ben. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, I already know that the woman is sort of nefarious.
Oh
Like,
yeah, for sure.
she's got something going on. I'm not sure about the black man that runs the scientist. He
Yeah, that you gotta just
seems legit. At least where I'm at in the story.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna give anything away.
Yeah.
I'll let you read it. So we cut back to it's still a blackout, but he's back at the apartment with candles and stuff, and he's telling Mary Jane that he can't believe that he did what he did in terms of making that risk for a few extra dollars. And Mary Jane's actually more mad at him that he thinks so poorly of her that, all that she'd be concerned about is how many dollars that he's actually making, and it has nothing to do with how much she cares for him. And he knows that, but it's sometimes knowing and feeling are two different things. So epilogue, last page, you have a broken down old building. You have the just a guy in shadows looking at a bunch of newspaper clippings of all the things that Spider-Man has done here, there, everywhere. And he's thinking, that Spider-Man, he stole my life, shattered it, and cast it aside. He's like, I'm going to do the same to him. Oh, yes, I will. Very, very soon. And he's like pounding his fist in his hand. And second scene, you see this black stuff creeping over his hand. Third scene, his hand is totally covered in black with the white on the back, obviously a black costume. And then that's the end of the issue. So it's the first cameo of Venom. Very, very cool.
There you go.
Yeah. This was a great one. I need to find time at some point to kind of reread from like around 250-ish, because that's when I started getting them like one after the other. That's like my prime, like
Yeah, but once McFarlane
entry
took over,
zone,
I was
and
hooked,
all the way
man.
through.
That's
Oh
when
God, those were so, the stories
so
were so
good.
good.
Yep. So he's, yeah, that was his first Spider-Man.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, back in the day, that was I was really excited when he started to do art. It was already good because Michelinie was still there, but even those DeFalco issues that were before that
They were
were
great.
really good. Yeah, because those
Well,
had
my
black
first attempt
they
at
had black suit Spider-Man at the time.
yes. I mean, this isn't my first Spider-Man comic. I started buying Spider-Man just prior to 200, but it was hit or miss. I'd buy an issue here, buy an issue there.
Yeah.
Going to an LCS, I started at like 254 and worked my way up, and very, very upset that I'd missed the first black costume by like two issues, and finally got it maybe like 10 or 15 years later. But yeah, it's like, that Tom DeFalco, and then what, it was a Ron Frenz for a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, those were
Those
just.
that's one two of my favorite team. Like I like when they're on Thor too. I really like their when they work together.
Yeah.
They did a lot of those MC2 books together too.
So it just really, really good stuff. And then
Yeah.
when Dave Michelinie came on, it didn't suffer at all. It was
No.
awesome then. So yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
we were fortunate that, growing up during that time frame and stuff, and getting those stories. Those were like formative stories that you constantly are, even referenced today. So. Yeah, good stuff.
Well, my next book is Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, Jim Ballant.
Ah, Tarot.
Number one. So this is kind of like, it has nudity, but it doesn't have, it's not like an over-sexualized book, but it does have a lot of provocative costumes and nipples. But other than that, it's a really good story behind it. You know, Jim Ballant does, he's still doing it. They're like in the 130s now, but they he does this he does the art and the writing, and this has to do with witchcraft. And the scene opens up with two books that witches had that somebody's after, and it turns out that it's Raven Hex. She's one of the sisters, and she seeks revenge on everybody that made crimes against witchkind. If you in humanity in general, she's just pissed off, you know, that witchcraft was always condemned. And she has the means now to bring on chaos, and her sister, who's tarot, is looking at the tarot cards, and she knows she has to stop her, or the situation's going to get worse for the witches. So she gets her sword and gets her garments together and goes out to battle. Her mom says, "Do you need my help?" And she says no, 'cause I've looked at the cards, and she said if you go out, something will happen to you. Meanwhile, there's these guys look like they're in their 25s. They have to be like from anywhere from like 22 to 25. Either that or they're drawn wrong. But they decide on October 29th that it'll be a good time in Salem if they just go to everybody's house and start smashing pumpkins. So, like, that's gonna be the cool thing. They start spray painting people's houses and smashing pumpkins, and that's like a good time. It sounds like I could buy this more for like teenagers, but
Yeah.
not for like these, you know, 20-something dudes.
Already
But
beyond
they
college.
spray the wrong house, and some bald guy with muscles comes out. He goes, "Smash my pumpkins, will you? I'll smash your heads in." And he starts chasing them real angrily, and then they take off, but then they jump over a fence, and then there's these huge pumpkin heads that are haunting them, which ironically they've been smashing pumpkins. Well, it turns out that Raven Hex is recruiting them to be goons for her, and they look at her in terror, but if I saw her come out, I'd be like, "Holy crap, she's gorgeous." I don't know if you can see a picture of Raven Hex, but she's pale and she's got a very good body. And she has like
looking at car.
these
Oh, I s the what?
she has these nipples that like
Do they have
spikes
spiders
on the
on them?
nipples, yeah.
Okay,
And she's got like a pierced navel and
yeah.
a thong and all kinds of craziness. And these
Yeah.
guys are looking in terror. She kicks one of them in the face and says, "Well, you're gonna work for me." And they recruit some other guy to go grave digging. Well, they decide to go grave dig in Salem Woods Cemetery for a corpse that is, what do they call those Siamese sisters? You know, like where they're joined at the,
Yeah.
they have two heads.
Yeah.
They're joined at the body. Well, they decide to dig a grave of these Siamese sisters. Well, the ghost of the Siamese sisters goes and alerts this guy who protects the, he's called the graveyard guardian, but he's a skeleton man, and he protects the graveyard from people that grave dig and stuff like that. And he wants the souls to be protected. Well, they alert him that these guys are grave digging, and then he comes to break some heads on those two Smashing Pumpkins guy. And then the third guy who they recruited to help him take the corpse out, he wasn't a Smashing Pumpkins guy, but he does manage to grab the coffin and take off with it. Well, that's when the tarot cards tell Taro that she needs the help of Skeleton Man to find her sister Raven Hex. So she comes in, smashes some of those pumpkin heads that her sister created with her sword, but then gets knocked out. And then she's reunited with Skeleton Man, and Skeleton Man, they agree to work together, but she has to help him get the coffin that was stolen. So the two guys that were smashing the pumpkins, they're defeated, but the one guy, the third guy that they just recruited last, he got away with the coffin to take it to Raven Hex. But it was a really good issue, and the art in this is like, it's freaking amazing. But it's really cool.
I don't have any of this. I feel like I should buy some of these.
Well, you should buy it to try it, but it is adult. So I don't know if you can have that in your house,
Oh,
but
sure.
it's
I just won't share.
yeah, it's just one of those things that there's a lot of nudity. Not sexual situations, but there is nudity. I think it gets more of that as the series goes on, 'cause I didn't start until 50. I just recently picked up number one 'cause I had a good deal on a second print. But it was really good. I do want to seek out more of this. It I should take a couple of pictures, but it's amazing.
This, you know what it entices me with it, and I don't know why, but the fact that it's still going on with that same numbering for
Yeah.
now 20 something years is very impressive.
Well, I want to take some pictures just so I could show you how badass it looks. Like
Yeah.
it looks amazing. I
Well,
might take.
take these pictures and text me.
Yeah. I'll DM you and just
Okay.
say, "Hey, here's Taro. Some art from Taro," and it
Maybe I'll
just
add this
looks
to my the newest order.
I recently supported a Kickstarter that got me back into it.
What
And
was
it was
it?
a it was a collect it was like a trade, but it collected like three issues of the later stuff. And I was like, "Man, this is really good." Like when I first got into it, I kind of ruled out like it was a cheesecake book and there wasn't much like substance to it.
Yeah.
But there is. The deeper I dig into it, you know what I mean? There's a
Yeah.
lot of plot and stuff that is really cool. So
That's interesting. Yeah, and I mean, it's got such a history at this point. I probably will have no idea what the hell's going on if I just pick up a new issue, but I can try it out.
I think if you listen to what I just said about like Raven Hex and the mother and and Taro and Skeleton, they play a big part still in the book, so you could kind of follow along. Like I try to jump into Gold Digger from Antarctic, and I was able to after reading number one and then jumping like to 290, but then it like got really convoluted. Like I read like two issues where I'm like I get what's going on, and then it got into like multiversal stuff and it got really hard to understand.
I mean, and this never really dissuaded me because I know eventually I'll start catching on. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, you guys, you and Bill, you know, would kept talking about whether it was Spawn or Savage Dragon.
Yeah.
And then when I decided to, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna pick up Savage Dragon. I picked up Savage Dragon and started reading it. I mean, my last issue of Savage Dragon previous to that was like issue 7.
Oh
And
wow.
this one was whatever, like
Yeah, you went from
it's like 200 issues.
Dragon to Malcolm.
Yeah, oh yeah. And like I kind of knew like what it, I mean, between listening to you and just
Did
being in
you
comics
read the
itself.
latest to Savage Dragon? Where
I
were there
think so.
th well did you?
I mean, I'm all
It
caught
came
up,
out,
but
it's a month. Yeah, it's
I would have then.
a
I
month
don't
old.
remember in particular
But
what happened.
him and Maxine are at the hockey the hockey game, and she tries to go down on him
Yes,
and give him
yes.
a blowjob during the actual game. Oh man, I couldn't believe that.
She's something else.
Yeah, she's very sexual, that's for sure.
So seven, I got ish one through seven, and then the next issue I bought number 200 just for the heck of it,
Yeah.
right? And then I didn't start buying it to re until 251. No, 250. I bought 250 and I just kept buying. So
Yeah.
so that's a long time.
That's a fun series. And then you have like Freak Force and Super Patriot and
Yep.
Vanguard and all that stuff kind of spawns, off. What is the two guys, Killer Cat and the Deadly Duo? They're pretty fun. They're like a ridiculous takeoff of Batman and Robin, but it's pretty funny.
It is. And I mean, you guys, talking about it, and I'm like, yeah, this guy's been doing this book since what, 1993 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta support this. So yeah.
But yeah, I want more of this Jim Ballant stuff because it's gorgeous. I mean, it looks incredible. But you know his stuff from Catwoman, right? Were you getting Catwoman back in the day when he was
Yep,
doing
I
it?
got the whole series, yeah.
Yeah. So
So
his
what's
art
happened
is
with him?
he's still
Do
doing
you see?
Tarot.
And then he came off of that and just went and started doing his own thing.
He's done a couple of covers recently for, I can't remember if it was for Marvel or DC. I think it was DC that were like cover Bs. And I did get those, but he's been staying the course with his own property forever.
I mean, he really has.
So
Yeah.
he's been doing this book since 2000, and I think like his wife, I don't know if it's his wife or significant other. But I think they're very much into like real witchcraft.
Okay.
Cuz
That could.
they have like weird spells and stuff in the back. Like
Really?
yeah, and there's a
Boy.
lot of women that follow this book, and they're sort of like, from what I could tell, they're practicing Wiccans and stuff like that. So
Interesting.
I it's very w fascinating anyway to read it.
You know what's interesting? I was just looking up the Catwoman stuff, and his last issue was issue 77, which was the cover date was February of 2000. So it's like he went from Catwoman right
To his own
to
property.
his own
And he
property. Yeah.
must be doing well, like to live off of it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I've been to conventions where they've had stuff, and he usually has like women dressed up as Raven Hex or Tarot.
Yeah.
Not in like as suggestive as the actual costumes in the comic book, but similar. And it seems like popular, like it's interesting. Like there's one woman that goes to our comic shop, and she's really into it. And
She
she,
doesn't dress up like that at the comic
no,
shop.
no, she's like totally into, you wouldn't expect it, but she's like very much into tarot and Xenoscope. So much that she was having Ed buy like these weird deals where they have like silver tier and gold tier Xenoscope, so she could get like these exclusive silver tier and gold tier covers. So yeah, she's really into it.
I guess so.
But the tarot one, she's actually met Jim Ballant and stuff, so she's got a lot of stories, but it's a fun book.
That's cool. Yeah, I think I'm gonna see what. I don't know if there's a new one in this current DCBS, but if there is, I might add it to my order. I'm looking. I don't really see because it'd
Yeah,
be like
I'm gonna take
130
a
something.
picture of Taro in her full garment, and then I'll take a picture of the pumpkin heads because they look awesome.
Okay.
And then Raven Hex, and then maybe another one. Maybe take a picture of Skeleton Man so you can see what he looks like.
Yeah, that'd be
But
great.
it looks awesome. Like it's a very incredible looking book.
That's just what I need. It's more comics to collect.
Yeah, and this guy was $2.99 for like a long time. Like he was doing the McFarlane thing,
Oh, really? Yeah.
yeah, for a long time. But then he increased it, which I don't blame him. But
It's hard not to. I mean, at this point, you've got the Spawn
especially if you're
books
independent, yeah, you don't sell as
and
much
Saga.
copies.
That's it. Those are the $2.99 books. All right. Aside from all ages books, some of them are $2.99, like the
You
Scooby-Doos and
get $2.99 Archie once a month,
yeah, that's yeah.
but that's about it. It's Archie, Saga, and Spawn, all the Spawn books.
I wonder if they're ever going to bring Archie actually back in terms of comic book series. This is his
Well,
anniversary too,
they
like
have
his
this latest
80th
one
year.
had what was it, the Fox? It had
Yeah, that's another one shot though.
the one shot. Yeah, everything's a one shot. And then it had Riverdale versus meets the current Archie, which should be
Yeah.
interesting.
It's just such a different paradigm that when they
But they
had
have like
Archie and Jughead and
they have those $2.99 specials, which are new content,
yeah.
but they're not. They're the more, instead of the darker one, they're the more classic. So if you like classic Archie, that's
Yeah,
what to get.
it's just yeah, I mean that's fine with me. I don't know. I would love to see some regular series come again, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Yep.
That might be it.
All right, well, we can wrap this episode up then.
Yeah, sounds good.
There was another book though that I liked that the art was amazing called Morgana X. It was a very unusual series about a bounty hunter assassin in the future, but it's black and white, and the guy who draws it is just like, holy mackerel, it's good.
Huh.
It's amazing.
What is it called?
Morgana X.
Okay.
So there's like two from Sky Comics, and then there's one from a previous. I can't get the Cat's Paw because it came out many years earlier, and it's on my want list, but I haven't been able to track it down.
What is
But
it?
I read Morgana X, the
No,
special.
cat spa?
No,
What is
I
that?
can't. I haven't been able to find the Cat's Paw
Oh,
one. See how it's like many years later though. Do you, Cat's Paw, I think, is like 80s, and then Sky is like 90s, and they continue the story from Cat's Paw, which is very odd because you don't know what the hell's going on. Well, it has the first story, which is very interesting, because it's an assassin going after the assassin, and he's like one of those guys that can go in ghost mode, kind of like the ghost from Iron Man.
Yeah.
So like he can be intangible, and he goes after her, and that story was straightforward. But then it had like two stories that continued, which I could imagine from the Cat's Paw one, and it's like years later. It's so weird. And then issue one says to be continued, and then there's no issue two. So it's like it never goes anywhere. Whatever it happened, this guy, which I put more things on my list, but they didn't even last a year.
Wow.
They published like, I don't know, five books, and then they were out.
Oh,
But
that's
anyway,
too bad.
well, we can wrap this one up, and you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger, me at Mike Myers Brunch, and Chris at Mythmaking ETC. This is Geek Brunch Retro. You can find it at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also on Facebook if you type in Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. And we fixed the iTunes issue, so I don't know
Yeah.
how, but they just started working.
I'm glad.
Yeah. All right, well, you have a good rest of the weekend, and
Thanks, you too.
I hope you stay healthy.
Thank you. I hope
Yeah.
so too.
All
You have
right.
a good afternoon.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.